Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us today is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. But wait, there's more. Please welcome back a very special guest. It's Michelle Webster. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, dudes.
What's up, Michelle?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Nice, John.
All right, we're going down that
Let's
line
Let's get
already.
The party started.
Michelle's an expert MVP. She's been on our show three or four times now, but she's also an expert in bringing her families to the parks. But she said to us, hey, dudes, why don't you do an episode on an adults-only trip to Walt Disney World? So, Michelle, as a mom who takes her daughter all the time, you also... We've seen you there as an adult by yourself without family.
It's true. Right?
And I'm sure you go with your husband too. But just to be clear here, when we're talking about Disney with adults only, okay, we're talking about doing adult things that you wouldn't normally do with a family. We're not talking about, you know, mouse ears and popcorn buckets and Disney bounding and taking your picture in front of walls. We're talking about doing adult behavior things, right, Michelle?
I mean, there could be a little bit of that.
Carl's.
It depends on. Yeah, I know. I already ruffled his feathers.
Yeah, he's like ground rules here. And Michelle's like, no, Carl, not happening.
No, okay. I'm on the show. These are my rules.
Michelle's idea. I'm asking you, Michelle, because this was your idea. So I want to know what's included and what's not.
I mean, it could go either way. And I've thought about this a little because it could either be an adult only, like with you and your significant other. Or it could be adults only, like your friends. So it depending on what kind of vibe you're going for, there could be some mouse ears and wall pictures and romantic dinners over what? Yeah, just edit over that.
So look, yeah, your precipice is correct because we started this podcast 4 years ago on the idea of a dudes or an adult only perspective on Walt Disney World. So a lot of our topics have been themed to that, but you're here to take it to the next level. You're here to talk about, hey, you know, there's lots of different kinds of adult trips and what would we do, you know, as adults that we wouldn't do, right? And let's start just for the fun of it at the hotels, right? You probably as an adult trip are not going to go to the all-star resorts, right?
No, I can finally not stay at Art of Animation in a Nemo suite because that's all my daughter knows and that's all she wants to say. So yeah, I'd be going deluxe.
Michelle, where would you go?
To the Wilderness Lodge.
Didn't we just have a show on that, dudes?
We did.
You did.
You know, it's funny, the precipice, as you say, Carl, for this show is very interesting because for 4 years, we've been talking about adults-only topics, but we've never actually gone down to just a one-show level for it. But I have to admit, I think it's hilarious here when you're like, let's take it to the next level, like, because we haven't talked about throwing up in garbage cans at Epcot before, right? Like, I'm not sure how much further we're going to take it, but I think the idea of this show really, like you said, is, like, let's talk to Michelle, let's talk amongst each other on, like, what is our adults only trips, right? When we take them, what are we doing with them? Where are we going with them? And I think Wilderness Lodge is a very, it's not where I would have picked, but it's a very good pick. So I'm definitely curious to hear more as to why, Michelle, you would take Wilderness Lodge.
Well, I listened to your pod about it. It's definitely on my list. I like it because it gives you that like kind of upscale cabin feel, which I like. I love Geyser Point. I've been there. It's you know, great. And I like that you can take a boat right over to Magic Kingdom. It's kind of secluded. You don't get all those, you know, the broken sight lines. You're kind of out there. So I like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, you know. And I think that part of the question here too is, you know, great. We've talked about the great theming there. You know, a lot of times when you pick a hotel with a family, you're picking a theme for that extra Disney magic pixie dust, right? And if you're doing adults only and you wanted to stay at an upscale hotel, but you really didn't care about the theme, I think it gives you an opportunity to look at things like, you know, the Swan and Dolphin, which are convenient to Epcot, which, you know, and convenient to the studios, but it's, you know, you might be going there on Marriott points, right? And, but still upgrade to a suite that you probably wouldn't do if you had the kids, right? So I think the hotel choice is interesting as an adult. You know, what's your priority? You know, is it picking, still coming up with that theme for yourself? Or is it picking a place that's got lots of great dining and other things that you would do as an adult rather than eat chicken fingers all week?
Michelle probably still eat chicken fingers all week, but
yeah, I was gonna say that.
Ronto wrap. Excuse
me, Ronto wrap. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't. I've seen her at the boathouse put down a lobster. So yeah, no, she's not gonna eat chicken wings all week.
So Carl, it's interesting that you mentioned Swan and Dolphin of all places, because you and I had an adults trip, and the first time I ever drank around the world with you, we quite literally stumbled back to the Swan and Dolphin together. And I'm pretty sure that 10-minute walk took about 45 minutes by the time we got back, but it was good times. And I think it's a good point. You know, adults are going to prioritize trips differently. You know, right off the bat, I can tell you, Michelle's like, oh yeah, I can get over to Magic Kingdom easily. Like, Magic Kingdom's last on my list if I'm going on an adults only trip. And that's not because I have disrespect for Magic Kingdom as much as it's like, when I'm adults only, I want drinks, you know? And up until recently, there wasn't that many options at Magic Kingdom for me to do that with. So, you know, for me, when I start thinking about adults only, I stick in the deluxe category for sure, because I want that flexibility and that ability to just get places. But I'm definitely leaning more towards probably Swan and Dolphin, or even, you know, the Beach Club or the Yacht Club, for just that access to Hollywood Studios and Epcot.
And the nightlife, right? You're going over to the boardwalk for nightlife and more, you know, drinking around Crescent Lake, right? There's lots of options of restaurants and food there that you could do. And I think that's, you know, we're jumping from hotels now into a little bit of eating. Would you say it's fair that when you're an adult only, you've got more leniency to eat outside the parks than inside? You got more flexibility, right? You could bang out for lunch at noon and grab, you know, at a monorail and go to a monorail resort and do that. Or you could, you know, go out at night and hit some places around your hotel and still make it back for the fireworks, because you're not tied up with, oh, we got to stop at the pool, or we got to, you know, stop and take a nap, et cetera, right? So you have the flexibility to maybe try some restaurants outside the parks versus always saying, let's get a reservation inside the park.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, is you can kind of slow it down without going with kids. You can, like, you know, a lot of times when I plan for families, I kind of, you know, get them to stay away from leaving the parks, because especially if they have one day in each park. But I think as adults, especially going multiple times, taking, you know, going to a different resort in between a park day is great.
It's a process, right? Getting a kid out of the park is a process. It's like an adult, it's like, hey, yo, let's just duck out for a few minutes. Let's go to Trattoria Al Forno, grab a drink and a pizza, and we'll come back in an hour, right? With a kid, it's like, hey, little Johnny, come on, we got to leave the parks now, you know? And it's an hour just to get the kid out of the parks, you know? And then much less feed them and be like, oh my God, let's go, you know, time to go. Let's get back into the parks.
You know, I always laughed about the practicality about that. We give that as advice to our people too. Oh, take a break midday, go to the pool and everything, right? Sometimes it's just not practical where your hotel is and where your park of the day is, right? And so it's just not feasible sometimes. So as an adult, sometimes you don't need the break and you're going to power through. Or as an adult, maybe you bounce out of the park and not come back because you get distracted and want to, you know, be more of a freelance, right? So I think the whole logistics comes into play as being an adult versus being strapped to the stroller.
John, you've been to the parks more as an adult recently than you have. Well, you haven't been to the parks with a kid yet, right? But you're about to.
Yeah, that's the weird thing that I was just going to start. And that's the weird thing I was just going to touch upon. Like, for myself, I know planning the trip that I got coming up here, that's the biggest, weirdest thing for me is going forward, planning dining, park days, et cetera, et cetera. Planning that was definitely very different. Like, when I sat down with my wife and came up with the list of dining options and what she wanted, what I wanted, compared to what was going to be the most practical and going forth and everything like that, there was a lot of back and forth and change, because we had to realize, wait, with my son, that's going to be very hard, especially with a two-year-old, that's very difficult to leave the parks or be on one side of Walt Disney World and then a couple hours later be on a complete opposite side of Disney World. It's definitely challenging. It's definitely something I think I'm going to see an eye-opening experience to. I've had a lot of clients, a lot of friends, not just you guys mentioned it, but a lot of clients who've done it multiple times are like, you're in for a totally, totally, totally different experience with a child than what it is every time you go. You're not going to be drinking around the world. You're not going to be completely doing whatever you want to do. It's going to be your son dictating and driving the force, everything. I'm like, no, I get that. But there's still going to be things we're going to want to do. It's our vacation as much as it's his. Like, come on, guys. Like, everybody's going to play nice here. So
I generally speaking, when I work with families that have children that are still in strollers, I actually, unless they're there for a long time, you know, an 8-day trip or longer, I generally steer them away from park hoppers and stuff like that, because it is so much more difficult to do with a stroller or a child than it is. Like, I mean, I can tell you right now, there's some MVPs that are going to be down in Orlando in October. And a few of us are planning time together. And like, by planning time, I'm very loosely stating, like, yeah, we're going to hang out at the parks, right? There really is no plan beyond that. There's like key things we want to do, like Ronto Wraps or Fantasmic or whatever. But there's no like, let's be here at this time and do this by that time or whatever, because we don't have to. It's super simple. If we want to bounce out somewhere, we're going to try and do all four parks in one day, or maybe skip a day, or skip a park. But, you know, like, why not? We can. It's easy. It's a big, big, big difference.
Yeah, let's focus in on the parks now just for a minute. I think you bring up a good, great point, all of you. There are certain Disney attractions that are more adult than others, right? And I think if you're going as an adult, you may have your favorites, your must-dos on your list. But I think you're going to take a tactic. Either you're going to, you know, go, and I've been with Ryan when he wants to do everything, and you just plow through it and do everything, right? You keep going. And I've been in my own situations where, like, yeah, if I go on an attraction, it's great. And if I don't want to wait 2 hours, I won't go, but I'll go to this attraction that's only 5 minutes just because it's, you know, there's nothing on my list, right? There's nothing on my list. And so you get to play things by wait times and the lines or what the app says to do, or if you even decide to get an app, you know, because, or Genie Plus, when you're doing the lines, right? Because you've got that flexibility. So there's no, you're an adult, right? So there's no rite of passage attractions. You've been on them all, or you're going for the second, or even if you're first time, right? There's no like, maybe must do's, you know, and that leisurely pace. What would be your approach to kind of attacking the parks, Michelle?
I mean, normally you think about like an adult only park day and you're going to think like all the heavy hitters, like the roller coasters and stuff. But let's face it, I'm a chicken. I yeah. don't go on those. Funny, my first time in the parks, I was around like 25 and I went with my husband who I was dating at the time. And I thought I was, you know, you know, a hot shot over there. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go on Tower of Terror. I want to just tell you, I cried. And we were supposed to go on Rock and Roller Coaster right after. And I was like, nope. So ever since then, I'm like, yeah, like Dumbo is my speed. Like, I'll sit on a bench. You can go. So if I was going, you know, I mean, I've been with you guys and I usually sit back on those, you know, roller coasters and thrill rides because it's just not for me. But I feel like, you know, not having kids, a lot of adults would take advantage of being able to go on those without having to either go on by themselves or do a rider swap or have a family member, you know, watch the kid. So,
or even singles line.
Yeah.
Right. Speed it up a little, jump in the singles line as an adult. You don't, you're okay to be separated from your adult and I'll meet you outside. Right. Because I mean, to me as an adult going and Ryan and John chime in, but for me as an adult, the last thing I want to do, because it's not a mandatory thing, is be in a line. There's nothing relaxed about it. There's nothing romantic about spending hours in lines with others, people's children and crying, you know, unless you need a, you know, motivational birth control, right? You, there's no need to stand in line with someone else's crying kids, right? So you're going to pick out things that are short line, easy to do, easy to navigate, and more relaxed.
Yeah, definitely more relaxed. I agree with that. And I mean, like, yeah, there's one thing I've come to learn in the last several years since being a planner is that there are people of all ilk that go to the parks, right? Like Michelle said, she's really not into the attractions, right? And John doesn't like Tower of Terror either, right? Like we know that, right? Sorry, buddy. So, oh,
you're fine. That's I think by this point, that's well known.
Yeah, I didn't tell him how you cried also, but that's besides the point. So
wait, what?
But no, I mean, really when it comes down to it, right? Like the weirdest thing about adults is like, when you have the kids, you have this like full itinerary, and adults, I swear every time I go with adults, we wind up just like walking around doing nothing, right? Just enjoying the ambiance of the parks, you know, and enjoying the different lands, enjoying the food, the snacks, the drinks, whatever the case may be. And you'd think like, I just paid all this money and I'm just walking around doing nothing, right? Like I just wasted it, but no, it's still a really good time, right? Like it's still great. And like you said, Carl, there is the opportunity to jump into a line if you want to. Single rider lines are great. They're such an underestimated way to do the parks if you're without kids or if you're with older kids even that, you know, Test Track, you know, for instance, like that's like a 15-minute line. You just walk by everybody and like, oh, no, you don't have to sit next to your bestie. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal. You're off the ride 5 minutes apart from each other. Big deal. Right. But it is interesting to me that every time I see adults, they're either getting drunk or they're just kind of enjoying themselves walking around. There's not a lot of adults that just sit in line all day, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. And so what comes to mind, we've talked about drinking. Obviously, drinking around the world is a great adult participatory sport that we recommend for people.
If you're not careful, this is a full action sport. There is full contact that can happen at Epcot on Saturdays if you're drinking around the world. Just an FYI.
Drinking around the world team draft has a potential show, right? We could draft who we want on our team for drinking around the world.
I mean, who's getting the classic kickball? It might be Michelle or John, to be honest.
I was just going to say, you're going to have to split John and I up, count as one person.
Or John and Michelle are the captains, right? Maybe John and Michelle are the captains.
I think that's a more fair approach.
I think we got to do this. I think we should get a Zoom and we should actually record it for all of our listeners. We should have like all 85 Magic Vacations planners on the Zoom call, and we should literally pick them like the NFL draft one at a time.
Do like three or four teams, right? And
Two teams. Just like ring around, like Red Rover, let the drunk come on over, right? Let's make it happen.
So in my head, drinking around the world is one of the classic non-attraction attractions, right? When I say non-attraction attractions, I mean it's not on a park map where there's the number and there's the attraction, right? But it's something to do. Now, I'll give you a total opposite end of that as an attraction. I had some clients that were older and they had green thumbs. They were gardening enthusiasts, right? And they went around looking at all the gardens of Epcot and the topiaries and took the behind the scenes tour at the lands, and they were just into, you know, people would go to Walt Disney World because of the amazing horticulture that was there all over the parks, and plants are imported from different parts of the world and the stuff they do seasonal, right? So there's an example. It's not an attraction. It's all around you. It is amazing, some of the stuff they do, but they made that kind of their feature. And if they got to an attraction, that's great. That was a bonus, but they were really there enjoying other aspects of the park, right? So that's what I'm saying is, as adults, you can do the non-attraction attractions. Michelle, since you just mentioned you didn't really care for some of the, you know, certain types of rides, would you have some activities that you like to do that are not really attractions, but you still appreciate Walt Disney World when you do them, that kind of fit into that league?
I like to snack around the world.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm just one of those people that I'm just happy to be there no matter where I am. I like to sit on a bench and people watch. Like, yeah, I'll pay all that money to do that. I'm just happy to be there.
So snack around the world. So yeah, do you have a strategy with that? You just kind of, you go one of the festivals and hit the booths, or how do you roll that out?
Yeah, just check out, I mean, I'm on the app all the time looking at what I'm going to eat the next time I'm down there. So yeah, whatever looks good.
It's amazing. For those of our listeners who don't know, Michelle is tiny, and we as three big guys hate the fact that she's tiny and eats all the food, but she does it. So, and actually we did Universal, right? We were on the food and drink theme, the four of us.
I think she ate more than both Ryan and I combined at one point. I swear.
I don't know about that.
That's not factual, because she wasted 4 hours in line for some popcorn.
I did.
There was a duck that got popcorn before she did. It was pretty
it's true. A clown car rode up, got in line before me.
There are some really adult restaurants that you can go to that are probably almost some of them inappropriate for real young kids, right? And maybe not so fun for, you know, kids that are a little older and tweeners, right? So what are some of those restaurants that you've been to, everyone as an adult, that you think is perfect for an adult trip, whether it's a romantic restaurant or whether it's just a place that's great to enjoy without having a high chair next to you?
So we actually went to Tiffin's one time, actually my daughter's first trip, and that's kind of more of an adult vibe. I was kind of nervous if she was gonna, you know, start crying or acting up, but she was actually really good. But I would love to go back and try it again, mainly because I was more fixated on, oh my god, is she gonna act up in this, like, you know, nicer park dining experience.
Yeah, Tiffin's is one of my favorites, and I was aching to get back there. I haven't been to Animal Kingdom in a while, but that's a great example. Because the food is, you know, look, at not every kid is going to want to try, you know, charred octopus, right? Or something a little bit more exotic, right? When they could be having chicken fingers. So how about you, John? Is there an adult sit-down restaurant that you like that's probably wouldn't be as appropriate for kids?
So this one I've been thinking about, because this was on my list for our upcoming trip here. I think you could get away with it, but I would definitely say Topolino's would be one that I would be a little leery to bring my son to. Then again, some kids may be better than others. I wouldn't bring Finn to this because it wouldn't work for him here.
That's a great example. Out at night, watch the fireworks at dinner. How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to say for Topolino's specifically, dinner for sure. I could probably give you six or seven, honestly. I'm going to go with one that might be a little bit more off the wall that maybe people wouldn't think of right off the bat. And that would be the Edison in Disney Springs. That's like cool cat, like old school adult vibes in that place. I wouldn't bring my kid in there if my life depended on it, you know? And it's not that they wouldn't be welcomed. They totally would be if that's where you're at, but like, that's live music. That's like this old, like 1900s kind of vibe inside, and all the meals are high end. There's some great mixed drinks, and, you know, John John had one of the strongest drinks of his entire life with me in that place.
Oh God, that thing right? was wow.
But that's a good spot. I think that's a good spot to go without kids for sure. I mean, there's probably five in Disney Springs alone that you could go to, but that one right off the bat was the one that jumped out to me.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered them all, right? So, and then, you know, after dinner, let's talk about nightlife. That's probably better served for adults than it is kids. Where are you headed, Michelle?
I think any of the after hours parties or specialty events, I know a lot of kids do go to them, but we did one of the Halloween parties a few years back and, you know, my daughter was asleep before the, you know, it even started. So she went back to the room with Ron and he kind of missed out. So I think more so the after hours parties are definitely a good time. You get more time in the park with less people. I mean, everything's, you know, you're up later. So
that, did that turn into a solo night for you at the park?
No, I was with my sister.
Okay. All right.
So I would have stayed anyway. But
if I were to take that to a different level too, I would actually even say don't even do the Halloween party or the Christmas party, just the standard like Epcot After Dark, right? Or the Hollywood Studios After Dark, where it's not a specialty event. It's just an opportunity to stay late, you know, because the other ones still invite kids, you know, in costumes and trick-or-treating and seeing Santa Claus and whatever. And Michelle's right. There's still more of an adult vibe there. But if you do the ones that don't have a theme to it, there's like next to no kids in there. That's just pure adult in those. Even Animal Kingdom, which I did once, which I don't know that I would ever do again, but it was a good experience, right? I got to ride Everest like six times in an hour and a half. It was fantastic.
It's too bad Michelle wasn't with you for Everest.
Well, that was actually my first ever MVP retreat. That was the first night that I was there. So anybody could have been there, but I was just with a buddy. I hadn't met any of you clowns yet. So that's pretty much that. But if I'm pulling like after hours, right, I'm going to steal yours, Carl, because I know it's on your list. But there's one place that closes to kids, and that's Trader Sam's.
Yeah,
right. I think it's after 7:30. They close the door to children. After that, it's adults only. And that's a rarity in Disney. There's not a lot of places that close the door to children at some point. So that's a good spot, especially if you're staying in the Polynesian. You want to go get Taiwan on pretty good and stumble back to your room. That's a pretty solid call.
That one was on my list too. Because the two times I've been there, the first time I was pregnant. And the second time was with Vi. So I think I need a redo.
We have such a plan. Don't you worry, Michelle. So, you know, and it takes, I think the nightlife, certainly Disney Springs, you know, is great to go as adults only. You can, you know, you can check out a spot. If it's too crowded or it's not what you had interested, then you could always end up at Raglan Road, which is good no matter when you go. So I think that's, you know, and there's enough outdoor places to grab a margarita or whatever and walk around. For nightlife, certainly we've talked about the boardwalk and the nightlife there. There is stuff going on, you know, that you can do from a nightlife perspective. There's another thing I mentioned, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. So has anyone here done solo in the parks?
I'm raising my hand. You can't see it. You can't hear it, but I'm raising my hand.
So Ryan has. John?
I've done partial days solo.
Okay. Yeah, I've done several days solo. Again, I think I've told the story where I'm in on a business trip and I get a day in between stuff and I'm off and I've definitely done drinking around the world solo twice.
And that I've, you know of.
That you remember. You know you have a problem when, right?
I've done a solo, and actually by one time by coincidence I met somebody from high school there. We ended up drinking together, but the intent was to kind of do a solo trip, and that's that comes up a lot, right? People talk about that, you know, in solo vacations, and it is a safe place to travel solo, whether you're male or female, and you can figure out how to navigate the crowds. So that's definitely in the category of adults only that you can do. And I think as a solo person, it's one of those things you can stop at Jock Lindsay's and strike up a conversation with someone at the bar and talk about what you've seen or don't seen. And it's fair game, right? To kind of be a solo traveler as an adult.
It's interesting because the first time I ever went solo, there was definitely a level of awkwardness, right? Like, I'm a solo man walking around Walt Disney World, you know, like, where do I go where I don't get looked at like a creep, right? That I was definitely in my mind, but it didn't take long to get past that, right? Because you realize how many other people, especially when you're the solo one, you start realizing how many other people are solo doing the same thing. But there are a number of places that you can go, especially like if you're anywhere at Coronado. I mean, that's like a solo resort traveler's haven in there, because there's a lot of conventions that go on in there. There's a lot of places that you can grab a drink, that there are other people there for business or whatever the case may be. That's a safe haven if you're solo. So, you know, if you're planning a trip and you're trying to figure out where am I going to stay, that's a good one. That's a really good one. But yeah, there's a lot of places, like you said, Carl, that just Wine Bar George is another place you can go and have a bite and have a drink that you don't have to feel awkward being solo at, if you're in Disney Springs too. You know, certainly Nomad Lounge, if you're in Animal Kingdom, is a place you can go hang out if you're solo. There's a lot of good spots, to your point. Yeah.
Michelle, if you had unlimited budget, unlimited time, and you had an adult only trip with your husband, what would that look like?
I mean,
I'm not writing you a check. I'm just asking.
I know. Well,
wait, if he's writing checks, I'm getting in on it. Right. Hold up. Writing down my details.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I would definitely add on the list that we didn't touch upon is Drawn to Life, the Cirque du Soleil show. While I would take Vi there, I think it would be, you know, a nice, you know, night out to do. Definitely, you know, taking a slower pace, maybe getting to the parks in like mid-afternoon and doing more late nights. And, you know, hitting up the more like adult specialty dining.
Ryan's been taking notes.
I'm just writing down like my ideas, right? Like the things that I would do. I mean, my wife and I did do an 8-night, 9-day trip solo. And it was great.
Maybe you should be writing me a check.
So that was actually supposed to be a trip with our kids, but COVID was happening and it was early on and the kids weren't vaccinated yet, but we were. So we canceled the kids portion of the trip and said, see you later, you little punks. But it was my birthday and that was my call. I was like, I still want to go. So my 39th birthday, we stayed at the Contemporary, but we stayed in the Garden Wing, which was fantastic. We had park hoppers for the whole trip. Took our time every day. We, you know, cut out early and went to the pool or had some relaxation time or whatever the case may be. But on my actual 39th birthday, we did do the 4-park challenge, which for me is like, that's a really good adult day, right? Like with no kids and just like really have a good time. You rope drop wherever you're starting. We've done shows about that, right? Rope drop wherever you're starting and you do the whole thing. But the thing that we did that I think really topped it off was we actually still ended in Disney Springs at Chef Arts for my birthday dinner. And we had like a 9:30 PM reservation and we stayed there until they kicked us out, you know, drinking moonshine and all sorts of good stuff. And we got a free hummingbird cake that we couldn't even eat. Yeah, just like, it was brutal. But like that's an ideal day for me, you know, is just that's a really cool way to do a if you didn't have to worry about paying for anything, that's a great way to do it.
John, wish list?
Oh man, the wish list is long. Ideally, I would stay at the Poly. I want the bungalow, to be honest with you. Again, I mean,
I roll it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could be a family thing, but with the craziness of my child, he would end up in the lagoon. There's no doubt about it. He'd be in the lagoon probably within the first 5 minutes. But for me, it'd be a couple nights. I mean, most of my Disney trips are only about 3 to 4 days. So a 3 to 4 day trip staying there, I mean, that would be perfect for me. But starting later in the day, definitely 4-park challenge is in my wish list, but it's not a must. I mean, really take it easy. I kind of just want to go kind of freestyle and just kind of see where the day takes me. No real plan, no real need to hit anything, just really relax and just kind of take it all in. That's really for me. Kind of just relax and not worry about the hustle of everyday life for a change. It's be kind of nice.
I feel like we're missing something on an adults only trip. You know, there's so much that we've kind of wove into the fabric of all of our shows, talking about adult things or things that you kind of sneak up to you as we tell clients, no, you'll have fun, even though you're going with kids, there's adult things to do. Right. There's gotta be some, you know, we've talked about special activities. We've talked about nightlife, the nicer hotels, the nicer place to eat. Go ahead.
How about non-park activities?
Yeah, maybe that's it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. It's all this, like I said, dining outside the park, but there's so many activities. I mean, if you're into tennis and golf and biking and boating and, you know, horseback riding and all that stuff, that's, you know, why not? Why not fill up your calendar with those activities? Originally, when Disney World was built, they kind of envisioned you doing those things in addition to going to the one park they built, right? And I think those things have kind of, we've covered them, but they've kind of been, they're not appreciated as much. And I think maybe adults would appreciate them, where kids are like, no, I want to go back to Space Mountain.
Another thing too is it's back in the parks, but the tours and stuff. There's a lot of behind the scenes where you have to be a certain age, or, you know, you wouldn't want to take kids because it'll break the magic, you know. And I think that too would be pretty cool to do.
Anyone done
all the? Not yet.
I've the only one I've done is Keys to the Kingdom. That was probably now about 8 years ago, I'd say. That was really cool. That was one I would highly recommend for any avid Disney Parks fans. It really gives you a true understanding of the magnitude and what really goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, Keys to the Kingdom for me was punch my time card, I'm going to work. But yes, there are some things that are definitely adult focused on that, right? With themes about that.
If I was taking that to the next level, I would actually look at the adult, the Adventures by Disney Southern California experience also. Now, you can do that with kids, but that's another one that I just don't think I'd want to bring my kids on it. Number one, for the expense, and number two, because if I'm paying that much money, I want to be able to like really, truly enjoy it. But that's one of those things that's high up on my bucket list of things to do. Get the full behind the scenes, you know, look at things, go to the Henson building and look at, you know, the behind the scenes there, and do some of the studio tours and all that kind of stuff in Hollywood, right? Like that's the West Coast park. And we normally talk about the East Coast park, but that's really high up on my list.
That's a good one. I'm going to note that for when Carl sends us away.
Oh yeah. When Carl sends us all checks, I'm just going to ask him to just pay that one directly to Disney. Under my number though, so I get the commission. Okay.
Did buy a lotto ticket. Well, that's great. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. Is there any parting words of advice you could give adults as they venture on their Walt Disney World vacation?
Enjoy your childless trips.
With and without mushrooms. I'm just kidding.
Well, we appreciate you coming back on, Michelle. And until next time, later, dudes.
Later, dudettes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.